Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim. Malik yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You are welcome to the show. Kareem, can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum.
Right ahead.
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you?
Good. This is Kareema.
Yes, it is.
And she's going to be our guest tonight. And this is going to be a lovely show. So, Sister Kareema, you can begin with your presentation.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much, Sister Sultana, for inviting me and allowing me to come on the show. And I want to thank all of the listeners who are here listening to the show. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all to benefit from what he has given us in his glorious book. So I'm going to start off first with just introducing myself because many people are not familiar with me, especially in the community. My name is Kareema Rashid. Most people know me by Haji Kareema. And I accepted Islam at the age of 14 under the leadership of Imam Wafdi Muhammad, and I took my Shahada in Atlantic City, New Jersey on Center Street under Imam Qari Shakur, the late Imam Qari Shakur. May Allah be pleased with him. And I pretty much I got married at a very young age, about 18, 19 years old, and I ventured out and went into several different communities as well as travel around the world. And alhamdulillah, in 2017, I returned back to the United States. And when I returned back, at that time, I met my dear late teacher, Imam Qasim Ahmed, whom I love and miss dearly. And we began on this journey of trying to bring our work together, what he's doing and what he was doing with the Arabic language connected to the Quran, and what I'm doing with the natural healing and food connected to the Quran. So alhamdulillah, I was able to do that with him for a period of almost a year before he took ill and then, of course, passed away in Ramadan. And so I am now still moving forward with our plans and our program and our goals and aims, which is to continue taking this message of the Quran to the community and especially to the youth. So I have a program that's called I Hope, the Islamic Holistic Outreach Program for Everyone. And that program was started by me in West Africa when my five-year-old daughter accidentally swallowed a lithium battery. And when she swallowed that lithium battery, it burnt a hole in her esophagus into her trachea. For those who are familiar with medical terminology, they know the esophagus is your feeding pipe and your trachea is your windpipe, which they sit one in front of the other. And so when that hole was made in her esophagus because the battery sat there for a total of 2 days, it burnt a hole there, creating what they call a esophagus or esophageal tracheal esophageal fistula. And this fistula is pretty much what they call a communication. So that hole from the esophagus, her feeding pipe, to her trachea, her windpipe, whenever she would drink or eat anything, it would go straight from the feeding pipe into the windpipe. And she would just choke like severely. And so in West Africa, them not really experiencing that situation before, they definitely said it was nothing that they can do in terms of surgical or anything like that. They did remove the battery through a endoscopy. They removed the battery and pretty much gave her a tube feeding. And the tube feeding is how I was able to just give her her nutrients and so forth. But at that time, they advised me to bring her back to the U.S. I didn't for several reasons, and one of those reasons was at that time I didn't even have the financial means to come back here. On top of, I had already spoke with my former hospital. I am a registered nurse, so I called the hospital that I used to work for, and they pretty much told me what the procedure would be if I came back. So I decided to stay in West Africa, take the tube feeding that they gave her, and pretty much try my best to give her as much nutrients and natural remedies as possible to allow that area, which was the squamous tissue, which is really what we're talking about, the soft tissue, mucus tissue in the body, to try to heal up. And that's one of the hardest areas to heal in the body is when you're talking about internally, because that area is always moist. And when you have a moist environment, it's an environment that's literally a breeding ground for bacteria. But also, it's an environment that takes much longer to heal because it's constantly moist. So just trying to figure out what to do for her. Being a nurse, I had never experienced that situation ever in my life. I started looking, researching like many people do, going to the internet, trying to find out what to do. Well, of course, like most people, you get pulled from west, east, north, south. Some people saying, you know, go vegan. Some people saying, no, go be ketogenic, go meat. You know, all these different things. And I'm like, what is it that I need to do in order to help my daughter? Because she had the tube feeding, but I really wanted that area to heal as quickly as possible so that she could use her you know, her throat and be able to eat from, you know, so she could get all of that, the nourishment that also comes with using the mouth and the saliva glands and so forth. So not finding any answers, I'm just, you know, really confused. I said, wait a minute. In our tradition, the Prophet of Islam said that Allah has not sent down any disease except that he sent down this cure. So there should be a cure for this, you know, and I start looking to try to see, well, what are the Muslims saying? And I can't find anything, you know, really, except, you know, everybody's referring to, you know, go to the medicine of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course I had that book, you know, but still this was not helping me. And it's at this time that I began to search and look in the Quran. And this is how the whole journey of I Hope began. It was inspired by this situation, this tragic situation that actually turned it into, as I understand it now, didn't then, but into a benefit, not just for my daughter, but for the Muslim community. And alhamdulillah, you know, I began to read the Quran and see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking to us and has been speaking to us in so many verses in terms of what we need to do for our bodies to heal and to be in submission to Allah. And so there I found the first thing that I came across was water. I'll never forget it. I'm in West Africa. I'm sitting there and I'm reading the Quran and I'm begging Allah to please, you know, guide me and let me find what it is I need to help my daughter. And one of the things in begging him also, I promised him that if, you know, it was in his decree for her to be healed, then this would be a testimony to the world. Now, I didn't know what I was saying then. I had no idea because there was no I Hope or anything. But I definitely was tested with that after she became healed. And, you know, alhamdulillah, I remembered my promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have been out here trying to fulfill that ever since. But, again, the first verse sign that Allah gave me in the Quran was out. Prophet Ayub, and that's Prophet Job in English. And so I looked and I saw this, you know, I never really thought about his story. I've been Muslim all these years, but never thought about his story. And here I'm reading this and I see where he was touched. You know, he said, you know, in the Quran that to his Lord, and Allah tells us in the Quran, he said to recall and remember. And also the word that he uses, it also means to mention. So he said, waskur abduna ayyubin. So waskur, zakara, eskur, it means to mention, it means to remember, it means to recall. And so he said what? To mention, recall, or remember our prophet Job. When he cried out to his Lord, saying that what? That Satan had touched him with this affliction. And then the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? He said, and we told him to what? He said, to strike your foot on the earth, and that which gushed forth, and that which gushed forth, he said, drink it. He told you, he described it as well. He said, but that which gushed forth that will be cold, baridun. He said, drink it and bathe with it. That was the answer to Prophet Job in reference to him seeking a cure from his Lord. So that was the first sign that Allah gave me, the first answer that Allah gave me in the Quran that I needed in order to understand about my baby healing. And so I immediately sent someone to the village because we were living in the city at that time, and I said, listen, I need pure water. I need water that comes out of the earth. Because they would say, oh, Karima, we have water, bottled water. I said, no, I need water that comes out of the earth. And again, I was really, really confused and caught between what I should do for her, because you hear about what? Alkaline water, reverse osmosis. And I'm like, so what should I, what kind of water? Because in West Africa, they don't have alkaline water, not where I was in Mauritania. And they didn't have reverse osmosis. And I'm pretty sure at that time, if they did, I would have tried to buy it, because I wanted anything and everything to give to my daughter for her to heal. And so at that time, I said, Allah SWT showed me the water, and he said, that which is in the earth. Now, of course, at that time, I didn't know what I know now. And so speaking to you from what I know now, I understand clearly why the first sign that Allah would guide me to would be water. I understand it clearly. And alhamdulillah, there are many things that came after that. Because what, should I give her meat? Should I not give her meat? Should I give her milk or dairy products that come from meat? And so all of this became clear to me by the Quran. And from that, when she was healed, I knew that I had to go out and I had to spread this message. Did I do it right away? No. I forgot that promise I gave to Allah, and I remember a Mauritanian lady coming to my house and telling me that my father was a very wealthy man. He had a big library, and they wanted me to come over and tell my story about Bilqis, and they would have maybe about 20 or 30 people. And I remember her sitting there that night and me telling her, you know, sister, I'm not talking with people. I really don't want to, you know, right now my baby's feeling a lot better. She's doing better, but she's still in the healing process. I don't want to be out there talking, lecturing to people. No. And I remember as she got up, because she asked me many times and I refused. And so she got up, she made dua for Bilqis, and she looked at me and told me, thank you so much. And right when she was about to walk out, it hit me. I said, wait a minute. And I remember that I made this promise and this oath with Allah, and I didn't want for that to come back to me, and here I am maybe going through another trial or test. And I called her, and I said, wait. I said, I can do it. She said, you can do what? I said, I can come to your house, and I can talk to the people. And she said, for real? I said, yes. I said, I just remember I made a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if Bilqis, you know, was to overcome this, that I would go out and I would, you know, make this a testimony to the world. And so when I open up my program now, whether it be a workshop or the How Empowerment program that I am going to be holding here in New Jersey, I always open it up. The introduction PowerPoint is about Bilqis and her journey, a lot of the photos, things that we did, and so forth. And so there's no way for me to talk about IHOPE without talking about that, so that everyone will know that that was our first testimony, our first test and trial and experience, and Allah SWT took us through with the Quran. And that's why this program, IHOPE, Islamic Holistic Outreach Program for Everyone, and all of its components, it's all based upon the Quran. It is about a Quranic healing, a Quranic way of thinking when it comes to healing. And it's no leaving it out. But we also talk with people from other religious denominations, whether they be Christian, Jewish, and we encourage them to go to their scriptures as well, because God has spoken in all the scriptures. The Quran is just the final one. And you will find that that he has spoken to mankind when it comes to our healing and our health in the Quran. So that's how the program came about. And from that, we have several components of the program. And one of those components is the teaching component. And the teaching component comes under the title of the How Empowerment Program. How Empowerment Program. And I love to use these acronyms because that's how I learn, and you can remember things. So HOW, it stands for Heals on Wheels. Heals on Wheels Empowerment Program. And that program was actually inspired by the late Imam Qasim Ahmed when he was diagnosed with the brain tumor, and I went there to be by his side and to assist him in every manner possible. I wanted to also empower the community with whatever skills I had so that they would be able to help him as he progressed in that disease process. They would be familiar with it. They would be aware of it. And so the first half of that, which is called HIP, Helpers in Place, is what came to mind, and I took that to Texas. And then as he continued to progress in that disease process, I began to expand that program and say, listen, because one of the things that Imam Qasim told me constantly, he said, Karima, you have to duplicate yourself. You know, I lived outside of the country for 10 years, and I definitely, when I came here, I came back in 2017, I hadn't planned to stay. And so he said, if you're not going to stay amongst your people, then you need to duplicate yourself so that they will be empowered with the knowledge that they need in order to help self. And so the Heal on Wheels side of the Helpers in Place came about by thinking, I need to take this program to everyone. Not that they need to get to me, but I need to be able to get to them. And when I get to them, I need to empower them with everything that they need in order to heal. And so first would be the theoretical side, making sure that they understand and that they know. Because in our tradition, Islamic tradition, there is no legislation before education. And when we look at our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and blessings be upon him, when he came, there was no legislation on the people of Mecca until they first had the educational side. So they had to get the Quran, and they had to be revealed, and they had to, the Prophet had to relay the message. And once he relayed the message and those things happened, now legislation began to come. So we cannot go around and be condemning each other or, you know, casting each other out because we're not doing this or we're not doing that, that we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying if we have not taught. So the first part of the How Empowerment program is the theoretical, and it's the biggest part of the program. It's 12 modules, and these modules start from man, food, and spirituality, taking you back to the garden where it all began, all the way to pharmacy versus farm and sea. So pharmacy, like pharmaceutical, versus farm, F-A-R-M, and sea, S-E-A. And really taking the participant through an in-depth understanding and in-depth study of the human being and the creation and its connection spiritually with food and drink. Because somehow we have disconnected ourselves with it, and we know that from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he taught the Nation of Islam, you are what you eat. And he taught that in relationship to cleaning up the individual. So he came with a program and a method or methodology that would change the human being, but he knew that it was part of that change in the human being had to have a detailed layout of what is being intaken internally, not just on a mental, spiritual, and physical, but what are you eating? So we have somehow now in these later years have disconnected. And the only thing that we think about when we think about food is halal. Is it halal? So we don't think about anything else. But if you go back to food, it is a part of our spirituality. It is the very thing that was there in the very beginning of the creation of man. It is the very thing that was used in order to cause man to fall. It was the very thing that was placed there in order for man to be tested for his obedience and disobedience to the creator of the heavens and the earth. And it's the very thing that Satan used to trap man through deception and through false promises. And it's the very same thing that is being used today. So in our program, we take you through this. We let you see that Satan said what? When he went to our parents, he said what? He said, your Lord has forbidden you this tree of knowledge. Least you eat it, you will become what? You will become immortal. And that you would have what? If you eat it, you will have a kingdom that never decays. Now, when I teach in my program, the first thing that I teach my students is my meaning, my understanding, and my analysis is mine, and is my studies, and is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do. When you read this Quran, he said, do what? Tafakkir wa tadabbir. So tafakkir, to think, and tadabbir, to ponder and analyze and apply it. So this is what I do when I'm looking at the Quran, and we know that Imam Wafdi Muhammad, may Allah give him the highest place in Jannah, he also taught this to his community leaders and the community as a whole. So, but I tell my students that I am not the one to say this is what this verse means, because we can never, ever. Allah says that if the ocean was ink, right, and the trees were pen, that they would be exhausted in trying to do what? Express this Quran. So I am saying from my analysis in terms of food, that when you look at the promise that Satan gave our parents, how could they be in a kingdom that never decayed when Allah had already made the announcement to the angels that what? How could they be promised that they were, if they ate from the tree, they would be immortal when Allah had already made the announcement to the angels that he was creating a vicegerent, a viceroy, a representative in the earth? They were already designed to come to earth. Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifatan. I am making in the earth a khalifa. And so there was no way that he was going to be immortal in the place where he existed at that moment. The second thing was that he promised him that he would have a kingdom that would never decay. Again, in that he was already designed to come to earth. And in earth, this is a decaying. Allah said, therein shall you live and therein shall you die. But the next part that I try to make this connection with my students in the very first module, and I'm telling this to you so that you understand how deep we get in this program, is that the next step is there's a verse in the Quran where Allah is speaking to the children of Adam. And there's not many verses where he says, oh, children of Adam. So when he does, that is a red light to stop, listen, reflect, internalize, and apply. And so what did he say? Oh, children of Adam, do not let Satan get you out or trap you or trick you or seduce you. Do not let him seduce you or those other things as he got your parents out of the garden. Now there is where we begin our journey in this program so that we can begin to take all of our participants with us to understand the connection between man, food, and spirituality. So Allah has already warned you. Don't let Satan seduce you, trap you, trick you, as he got your parents kicked out of the garden. And there's a lot more verses that go with that that I cannot go into now, but if you take my course, you will hear them all, you will see them, you will experience them, and it will all come together for you. But one of the things that I will say, in understanding that and knowing that, that yes, since the beginning of time, our avowed enemy, our nemesis, Satan, has been working to cause us to fall, because he understood that Allah had honored Adam. He honored the children of Adam. And he says in the Quran, Qad karamna Bani Adam. So Qad meaning definitely, but it also means already. So definitely I already honored the children of Adam. And Satan, he says in that same surah, which is Surah Isra, Surah 17, he says what? He said, look, this is the one that you honored over me. And then he goes in to say how he plans to mislead the children of Adam. And so when you look today and you look at our food that doesn't decay, like the kingdom that he promised our parents that would never decay. When you look at our food that doesn't decay, when you look at us as human beings that try not or try so hard and so desperately not to age, when you look at us building a kingdom in itself that doesn't decay, you can see whose handiwork is behind it. But we go deeper than that. We have the module that takes you to what? To the human cell, looking at the beginning of humankind from a cellular level. And why do we do it? Because Allah says in his Quran, he said, Min ayyi shay'in khalaqahu. From what thing have we created him? So this is a question to provoke thought on our behalf. And then Allah follows it up with the answer, مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ, that we created him from a single cell. The sperm is a cell. The egg is a cell. Now, looking at the human cell, we begin to teach you not just the human cell, but we take you and connect you between the human cell, the animal cell, and the plant cell. So all of this to make a connection on how you should be feeding your cells, C-E-L-L-S, and not yourselves, S-E-L-V-E-S. Because we have been now walking around in this illusionary, delusionary world that has been designed by our enemy, feeding ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, and it is allowing us to fall as he wanted so that we can be dishonored. So our program takes you to show you that you have already been honored, and you must stand up like Adamic beings, and you must stand up with honor and dignity. And the only way you can do that is you must be like our father, who when he fell, and our mother, when they fell, they did what? They turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They turned to Allah the Most High. And they said what? Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. And if you do not forgive us, then we will be from the losers. So we have to taba ila Allah and what this Tawbah or Tawbah means. Many of us like to define it as repentance, but it also means to turn. We have to turn from that which we have been going after, submitting to, obeying, and turn back to Allah. And when we do that, we will find that we are the most honored of the beings on the creation. Allah says He made everything subjugated to us. So this is what we teach in our program. We take you down the road of food so you can see that the food that you are having in your homes, in your houses, that you believe is called food, it's not. And we help you understand what the food is. We take you down the road of to be or not to be a vegan based upon Quran. We take you down the road of milk, honey, and water. We have the module of dealing with, as I said, pharmacy versus pharmacy. And we have a wonderful module called organic versus halal and tayyibah. So this is the program that on Friday we begin. Yes, we begin on Friday in New Jersey. We will be holding this program at Free Haven Masjid in Longside, New Jersey. It has the theoretical component, which I just went over. It also has a practical component, and that's where we get hands-on. So there will be certain do-it-yourself demonstrations showing you how you can make these things in your own home, how you can cook the food, make the natural remedies that you need. So we will go over that component. And then we have a component where we literally take you out, which is still hands-on and practical, but it is the field trips. And we have a beautiful field trip happening here in this side of a town, which is it's not going to be in New Jersey. It's actually going to be in Pennsylvania. But we are going to the Amish farm. And so many people are so excited about that. And alhamdulillah, I ran this program in February in Philadelphia with a small group of sisters. And those sisters were so empowered by the program that we all got together. We went to the Amish farm. It's called Clearview Farms. We went there, and they all got memberships. And when they got their memberships, they all began to change how they were eating as much as they could that they had the power to do so. So they began to get their water, because the Amish has water. They have a well, and you can buy 5-gallon jugs. You can purchase a jug, and then you can fill.
Yes, we're going to take a break for a commercial thing, and then we're going to, if there are any callers, please press 1 on your phone. If you need to ask your sister any questions after we take the break. Brother Kareem?
Yes, ma'am. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the most listened to Islamic radio station in the nation, and we'll be right back.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Okay, we are back. There are no callers in the queue. If you would like to speak to our guest or have a comment, please press 1 on your phone. Sultana, there's no caller.
Yeah. All right, Sister Karima, you can continue.
Okay. So, and if any callers come in, just let me know and I'll stop, inshallah. So I stopped at talking about the water. When at the Amish, we're able to get water, so we buy our 5-gallon jugs and we get 5 gallons of water for $2. And so these sisters that took the course, they began to go out and they were able to get grass-fed only, you know, no hormones, no supplemental feeds given to the animals or anything. So they're able to go out, get those things, also get freshly grown vegetables and so forth. And so since February, we have literally supported this farm, Clearview Farms, since February, and so many Muslims have been out there, even Muslims that were not from this group, but they heard about the farm. And so they were so appreciative of us doing that, that they gave us a day, and they're calling it Farm Day, Muslim Farm Day. And that will be Saturday, this Saturday coming, July 6th. We will be at the farm, most of the students, and of course, the other sisters that took the program, and just any Muslim that wants to come, they're come. And so that's going to be, again, part of our practical of the course, where you get to go out to the farm, you get to understand what we're talking about and what Allah is saying in the Quran when it comes to livestock, when it comes to how they should be fed, and so forth. So, and then again, like I said, the other side of it is learning how to make certain foods. And also what we've newly added in, I didn't have it in the other programs, and that is foraging. We will be doing foraging. And so what is foraging? Foraging is something that our ancestors and many people did in order to find food. They used to go out and look for food. So when you went out and looked for animals, they called it hunting. When you went out and looked for food, they called it foraging. And you can still find many of your, from Australia, they call them the Aboriginal. You can still find the Aboriginal people doing that, foraging, till this day. So it's when you actually go out and look for plants, you know, whether it be plants or going out, even when you go out in ocean foraging and looking for ocean plants and so forth. But it's mainly used for people that go out in what they consider the wild, the forest, right, and they look for food that has been there and that's growing. Now, as I said, this is a new component that is in the Howl Empowerment Program in terms of me offering it to the students. And in this, we cover what Allah says in the Quran. So is there anything in the Quran about foraging? Yes, it is. Does it say the word foraging? No. But Allah says in that same surah, which is Surah Tabasa, the blind. It's called the blind, and I believe this is Surah 80. In Surah Tabasa, Allah asked the question, what man has been created from? And then he said he was created from a single cell. Right under those verses, he says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَى طَعَامِهِ. So let man look at his food. أَنَّا سَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. And this, he is speaking in past tense. He said, definitely we poured down the water in abundance. ثُمَّا شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. And we split open the earth. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبًّا. And we planted in it the seed. So Allah is showing us, and there are many more verses that come after that. He talks about the grapes that he put there, the dates, the herbs, the grass, everything. And he finishes up to say what? That he did this for what? For you and your cattle. He put all of this food there for us, the children of Adam, humankind, and our livestock. So this is where we all should be eating from. And so he's telling us to look at our food. And if you look at your food, as I told one person I was speaking with, he said, well, when I look at this, I see it as Allah telling me to look at my food and to appreciate it. I said, yes, because as time moves, the Quran is not caught in time. So you have to apply it to the age in which you live in. And if you go back to our prophets or even the time of the people of Tafsir, the people who explained the Quran, they never saw canned food. They never saw preservatives. When you go back to the people of explanation of the Quran, Tafsir, that many of them were here 200 years ago. There was no such thing of preserving your food. You went out and you actually foraged. You went out and you took the seeds that might have been falling, seeding, and you plant them in your yard. You take them and you put them in your yard, and you grew whatever was native in that area. But your food came from there. There was no such thing of someone marketing God's food, patenting God's food, and taking God's food, packaging it up, putting it somewhere, and making it last. And there was no such thing until the early 1960s that we have where they were actually killing the herbs. I was speaking with a sister today, and I said, much of what they do, they tell us, but we're so asleep, we can't hear it. I said, they have been spraying herbicides. Now, we know what herbs are, because many of us love to go to a naturalist or herbalist and get herbs when we're sick. And the herbalist should be getting his herbs from where they come from, which is the earth. Now, if you put side on any word, right, it's a terminology, it's a suffix, it means to kill. Homicide, right, commit murder. Suicide, kill yourself. Herbicide, you're killing the herbs. That didn't happen until now, Sister Sultana. That didn't happen until the 1960s. In the 1960s, and we teach this in our course. In the 1960s, herbicides came about because why? When America was fighting in the Vietnam War, they needed to be able to see the Viet Cong. And if you spent any time in Southeast Asia, you will know that everywhere is like a jungle, rainforest. I lived in Indonesia, and I lived in Malaysia. And I just can't wait to go back there because it's just food growing everywhere. So you take Vietnam, same thing. So they needed to be able to see their enemy. So the same people that designed the herbicides in the Vietnam War in order to kill the trees so that they could see the enemies. And you can go read this. This is information you can find in our history of the Vietnam War. You can find it in Wikipedia, wherever. So they actually created this chemical that destroyed the trees, caused all types of birth defects and so forth in those people in Vietnam, and they still suffer until today. That when the war was over, those people that created that chemical, they didn't have nothing to do with it. Now they couldn't do anything else with it, so they needed to find something to do because look, they made all that chemical, they ain't making no money. War is over, so the war on human beings became now the war on herbs, and they already knew to do that because they did it in Vietnam, and the war on what they want to call pest. And pest can be anything, anything that's a nuisance. And so that's what began to go on our foods, on our crops, on our soil, glyphosate. Okay? And now, when you look from the 1960s until now, autism, sword, all these diseases and defects, things that you never, I'm 52, and when I was a child, I remember seeing one cancer patient in my whole life. And now, anybody that gets sick, I already know, oh, they must be diagnosed with cancer. So here's the thing that we have to begin to understand so that we can go back to God's food. But is it that, oh, Sister Karima, this is such bad, depressing news. There's nothing we can do. It is something you can do. I go out and forage every day. While I'm talking to you, I'm roasting something called Curly Doc that I went out and picked today. I made my lentils with some greens that I picked today called what? Called prickly lettuce. So we are trying to empower every person that comes through this program with the knowledge that they can make a conscious choice to be Adamic beings and be honored and be rulers on the earth and representatives for God, or they can be slaves to the creation. So that's what our program is about. That's what we're offering. That's what we're bringing to Free Haven, as well as we've took it to Atlanta. We've held the program in Atlanta. We've held the program once in Philadelphia. And like I said, it was a small group of sisters, about maybe 15. We're really hoping that we can get it in Masjid Allah because it's a large community, and especially in our aging community, that where they're getting older and it's much easier for them to grab a canned good or something to cook with. We have to empower our community so that we can offer what is needed for us to be strong and healthy. We don't preserve life. We don't preserve life. Allah says that life and death is with him. So it's already written 50,000 years before Adam when we're leaving. But the quality of life, no, we do play a role in it. And I'm going to close in terms of my talking. So if you have anything to ask me or anything, I'm going to close with this. There's a very famous hadith that many are aware of. And I'm not going to quote the entire hadith, but it is most famous for there was a man who was, well, first it starts off where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah says, he is pure, he is good, they like to translate it, but he is pure, tayyibat, and everything that he has given out is pure, wholesome, or good. And he has ordered our prophets to eat that which is pure and wholesome. And he has ordered us to do as the prophets. And then he moves on. And the prophet says that he talked about a man who came. He was very disheveled. His hands were raised out to the sky. And he said what? Ya Rab, Ya Rab. But he said what? Oh my Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. وَأَطْعَمَهُ haram, but his food was impermissible, and his drink was impermissible. His clothing was impermissible, and he was nourished with impermissible things. So the end of the hadith says what? How then could he be answered? And I love how the hadith ends, because it is speaking in the passive voice and not the active voice. As you say the active voice, you may want to say that what? God is unjust. He still doesn't answer him. No. Even with all of our disobedience, Allah still answers us. But he says, how then can he be answered? Meaning that he's stopping it. He is the one that's stopping himself from being answered. You say, oh, Lord, help me. The help is here. The cure is here. Everything is here. You have to turn That repentance, you have to turn from that which you are facing and chasing and turn back to your Lord, and you will have the answer.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Kareem, you have questions?
Assalamu alaikum, Kareema. This is Kareem Hassan.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Just wanted to thank you for being on the program, and it just so happens that I just met you this past weekend in Philadelphia at the Mali Conference, so that was indeed an honor to meet you. Thank you.
And I think I remember now, Brother Kareem, when you introduced yourself. So it is. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. But,
you said you
I don't
which
have
one?
Any questions. Pardon?
No, you were going to say yes. You were the one.
Yes, I was the one who came up to you and said Kareema. So, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. I just wanted to make sure that was the right one that I had in my mind as well. Yes, I do remember, and I know you probably heard me or saw me going around doing what I do best, just talking to the people. And pretty much this is what we're trying to bring here in New Jersey as well as Philadelphia, but to every community. Our program is Heal on Wheels. And I think if that's the if any message I want to get out today on this radio station or any radio station is, you don't have to leave your home. We're saying we're going to bring it to you. You don't have to go out anywhere. We come to you, and not only do we bring the program to you, we show you in your area where your pure water is. We show you where the animals that Allah has sanctioned for you to eat. We show you where the food is. So we bring the whole thing to you. All you have to do is host us, and we'll bring it, inshallah.
Okay, we do have a caller in the queue. We do have a caller in the queue, and we only have 3 minutes left. So, 404-290, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Mother Dr. Baiza Muhammad in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I know you don't have much time, and I have been listening. I just wanted to ask you, I guess, how you have been working with women, men who are not married yet or who have planned to be married, those who are prenatal, and particularly in terms of vaccines, and, the medical model.
Okay. Again, assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for asking your question and listening. One, the first thing is because I am a registered nurse, and one of the things that I teach in my program is that I make it clear to all of my participants that I'm not here to medical bash. And what I mean by that is you'll find a lot of people that are in the natural side, they are medically bashing, they bash the medical field. I'm not here to do that. And the reason why I don't have to do that is because this message from the Quran and from Allah is so powerful that Allah says, "Jaa al-haq wa zahaqa al-batil, inna batil kana zahuqa." He said what? When the truth comes, falsehood perishes. Falsehood
right.
is bound to perish. So I never say anything except this. I advise, I teach them the information I have. And we cover vaccines. We cover what they are. See, the program is empowerment. It is not, it's to empower you to make your own choices. Even when it comes to cancer, chemo, and radiation, I empower you with all the information. I'm letting you know what it is by them. I go into their information, not conspiracy theories. I take you right in to what they say chemo is. What when you get your immunizations and all that, and then you make the choice with the information that we give you. Yes.
I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Is my time
we're
up?
Down to 30
okay.
seconds.
Okay.
Sultana,
thank
real
you
quickly.
We will see you next week, Tuesday. Please tune in.
Yes.
Thank you all.
Can you? It's breaking up, so I'm not hearing everyone.
We have to go. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, thank you very much. I didn't hear you. Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show. Alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullah.